We're on Daf Kuf Mem Dalet, and we're up to Ashkechan. And let's just review what we did until now in order to pick up the Daf for today. We had a machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and Chachamim that revolves around the issue of the status of mashke, of liquids that were absorbed inside or naturally inside of fruit. And the question is, if you violate meleches schita by squeezing out the juice, and schita is a told of dash, of meleches dash, and we categorized fruits into three different categories. There are fruits that are designated for their juices, and those are called zeisim v'anovim, olives and grapes. Generally, we can assume that instead of eating the grapes and the olives as is in the whole form, they will be squeezed for their juices to make oil and wine. Then we have what's called shar peros, other fruits, which generally speaking are eaten whole and they're not used to squeeze out the juice. And then in the middle we had a category that sort of overlaps with both of the other extremes. The middle category is called tusim v'rimonim, berries and pomegranates. And with regard to tusim v'rimonim, we have a machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. Do we say that since, generally speaking, maybe in most cases people will eat them whole, therefore the mashkim are not omed, they're not designated to be removed, to be squeezed out of the fruits? Or do we say no, that since quite often it's not uncommon for people to squeeze out the juice from the pomegranates, it makes a kind of a yayin, a kind of a wine of pomegranate juice, therefore it is considered a mashke? And that's going to be the subject of the machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. And we had a statement of Shmuel back on Daf Kuf Mem Gimel Amid Beis, that Shmuel holds that in the case of Zeisim V'Anovim, Rabbi Yehuda concedes and accepts the Shita of the Chachamim that the mashke, the liquids, are considered liquids, which would mean A, that if he squeezed a grape or an olive for its juice, he would be violating meleches schita. And B, we have to worry about the following situation. If the juices came out on their own, nevertheless, if we allow him on Shabbos to benefit from these juices, he might be tempted to squeeze them deliberately. And therefore, mashkim ayotzim mehem, any liquids that come out even automatically on their own on Shabbos from Zeisim or Anovim or Osir, even according to Rabbi Yehuda. That's the statement of Shmuel. Then we move on to cases where the fruits are not designated for their juices, and therefore we are contrasting this case with of Zeisim Anofim, which are designated generally for their juices, with other fruits, the general category of fruits, which are called Shar Peros. So let's say, for example, we would take an eating orange. Generally speaking, people eat the orange whole. And in this case, if the juice comes out, the juice is not called a mashke, and therefore he's allowed to benefit from it. We're not afraid that he'll squeeze it because he wants the fruit. He doesn't want to squeeze out the juice and ruin the fruit. And according to Shmuel, this is something that even the Chachamim agreed to, that Shar Peros, We're going to assume that you're allowed to enjoy the benefit of the mashke. And the entire machlokas, says the Gemara, between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim revolves around the case of tusim v'rimonim. That's that middle category that we spoke about before. And the Chachamim say that since there are those who will squeeze out these juices from tusim v'rimonim, it's not unusual. Therefore, they're also included in the case in the category of zesim v'anovim. Therefore, the mashkim ayotzim mehem is asur. And Rabbi Yehuda says no, that generally speaking, people will eat a pomegranate or eat the berries whole, and therefore we're going to allow them to enjoy the benefit of any mashkim that came out automatically, because we're not going to assume that if we allow him to enjoy these mashkim, he's going to come and squeeze, deliberately squeeze, and violate schita of tusim v'rimon. That was round number one of Rabbi Yehuda, the name of Shmuel. The Gemara then quotes a brisa to prove that Rabbi Yehuda agrees in the case of Zesim v'anovim that mashkim hayotzim hem as osur. What we're going to learn today is the flip side of Shmuel. Can we prove Shmuel is right that the Chachamim agree to Rabbi Yehuda with regard to Shar Peros? And that's where we want to start today with Ashkechan. So we're on Daf Kuf Mem Dalet Omid Aleph, the previous Gemara we finished yesterday. Ashken Rabbi Yehuda Demodi L'Rabbona V'Zeisim V'Anovim. We found a source in a brisa to prove that Rabbi Yehuda agrees to the Chachom in the case of Zeisim V'Anovim, that you're not allowed to benefit from the Mashkim Ayotzimahem. And the reason for that is because Zeisim V'Anovim are designated for the Mashkim. And that mashke, that liquid that comes out, has the status of a mashke, and therefore it's osur. However, says the Gemara, what about the flip side? Rabbanan de modu le Rabbi Yehuda v'shar peros minolan. What source can you quote to support Shmuel's contention that the Chachamim will concede to Rabbi Yehuda in the case of shar mashke, that Shar Mashkim are not considered a Mashke, even if, let's say, he would squeeze them and he's interested in the Mashke. He makes a declaration that, you know, I would like to take this orange and squeeze out its juice. Again, it's not a juice orange. And Rabbi Yehuda, the name of Shmuel, said that the Chachamim are moded to Rabbi Yehuda in the case of Shar Mashkim. We don't have any proof for that. That's what the Gemara is searching for now. Tesanya Sochatin, here we're going to turn to Daf Kuf Mem Dalet Amud Beis, and we have a brisa that says that you're allowed to do schita in the following cases. Three cases that are listed here, and they are called Pegoyim, Prishim, and Ozredin, which in English is translated as plums, quinces, or sorb apples. Now, these are cases where nobody, I should say in their right mind, would squeeze out the juices. There's very little juice that you'll get out of this. Then when you eat these, you know, these plums, these quinces, these sorb apples, you'll eat them whole. And therefore, there's no what we call Torah's mashke. In other words, the halachic status of a liquid doesn't apply to these categories of fruits, because no one, and it's not worth it. It's almost like ruining the fruit by crushing it to get out a couple of drops of its mitz, of its juice. So that's called Ein Regilus Klaulis Sochtan. No one will, generally speaking, squeeze out the juices. Therefore, the status of the juice is not that of a mashke, but rather that of an ochel. And in this case, you would not violate schita if you were to squeeze out some juice from any of these three categories of fruits. So, for example, if you took pagoyim and you squeeze them, you would not violate melechas schita, because the juice that you get out of it is not called juice. Halachically, it doesn't have what's called a toras mashke, but rather it's categorized as a toras ochel. And when you take an ochel from an ochel, that's not schita. The melach of schita is violated when you create and remove mashkim from an ochel. Now notice what happened here in this brisa. If you're paying attention carefully to this brisa, the brisa says sochatin. That's the opening word of this brisa, which means you're allowed to deliberately squeeze the juice out of these three categories. We never found that in the past. Until this point, we've restricted our discussion to a case where the liquids came out on their own. Are we going to allow you to drink and enjoy the benefits of this liquid? Or should we be afraid that you might deliberately squeeze them out? But we never had a possibility that you'd be allowed, bekumva say, from the get-go, to squeeze this out. And here, in these cases, to what extent did the Braisa classify these three categories of fruits as the mashke is called an ochel and not a mashke? To the extent in which the Braisa allowed you l'chatchila from the get-go to actually squeeze these fruits. Because when you squeeze them, you are not separating mashke from ochel, but rather you're separating an ochel from ochel. You're taking one kind of an ochel from another. Then the Braisa continues, Avolo berimonim. We're not going to allow you to squeeze pomegranates on Shabbos and make juice out of the pomegranates. Why? Even though the Braisa admits that most people will eat pomegranates whole, and in that sense it's very similar to the three categories that we brought before, but nevertheless there are people, and we're going to prove that there's a group of people who actually take pomegranates and they crush and squeeze the juice out of the pomegranates. Who are these people? Vishal Beis Menashe Bar Menachem. In the household of Menashe, this Menashe, again, they didn't even call him Rabbi Menashe, but this fellow by the name of Menashe, Hayu Sochatim V'Rimonim. That's what they did the whole week long. Not Lav Dafkan Shabbos. They would, their regilus, their custom was to take pomegranates and squeeze the juice out of the pomegranates. And therefore, the juice that comes out of the pomegranates, based on base menashia, has the status of mashke. And therefore, you're not allowed to take a rimon, a pomegranate, and squeeze the juice out of it on Shabbos. And that's called avolo sochtim berimonim. Now, from the fact that this brisa permitted schita, that you're allowed even deliberately up front to squeeze pagoyim, prishim, and ozrodim, it means that even the chachamim, again, right now the Gemara is attributing this brisa to the chachamim, Rabbi Yehuda's name is not mentioned here in the brisa, even though they disagree with Rabbi Yehuda in tusim v'rimonim, because they hold that tusim v'rimonim are a mashke, there are people like the Beis Menashe who will squeeze tusim v'rimonim for their juices, but in Shar Peros, in the bulk of Peros, the representative of Shar Peros are these three categories, they agree to Rabbi Yehuda that the juice that comes out of them is not called a mashke, it doesn't have a toras mashke, and therefore, for sure, we're not going to prohibit you from enjoying the benefit of the juices that came out on their own. Now, I just want to emphasize here that the commentaries point out that, in effect, we're going to have a number of different categories. Let's just count up the different categories of fruits. In the case of pagoyim, etc., the brisa permits you to deliberately squeeze out the juice. That's a toras ochel. Then we go down to the next level, which is called tusim v'rimonim. In the case of tusim v'rimonim, we're not going to allow you to squeeze the juices out, because of Beis Menashe. Because since in Beis Menashe and Tusa Rimonim, they would do, even during Chol, this act of squeezing out the juices. Therefore, you see that it has a Torah's Mashk. Now, what about Shar Peros? So it works like this. In Shar Peros, we're going to have a distinction between L'chatchila and, so to speak, B'di'evet. I'm using that word B'di'evet loosely. Meaning L'chatchila, we're not going to allow you to squeeze other fruits. So let's say I want to take an orange on Shabbos and squeeze out the juice. That I'm not allowed to do. But if it's an eating orange and the juice came out on its own, everybody agrees. Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim agree that you're allowed to enjoy the benefits of those juices. We're not afraid that you might come to squeeze them. And the reason for that is because nobody, or I shouldn't say nobody, but 99% of the population would not squeeze the oranges. Then we get to the case of Zeisim v'Rimonim, Zeisim v'Anovim. In the case of Zeisim v'Anovim, not only are you enjoined from squeezing them, because that would be a violation of Melacha Doraisa of Shechita, but in addition, if the juices came out of the olives or the grapes on their own, you would be enjoined from eating and benefiting from those juices because we're afraid you might come to squeeze the juices. And in the case of Rimonim, here we have the machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. The Chachamim disagree with Rabbi Yehuda as far as Tusim Rimonim, and they are going to equate Tusim Rimonim with Zeisim v'Anovim, based on this custom in the Beis Menashe. And they're going to go as far as to say we have to include Tusim Rimonim in the Gzera of Zeisim v'Anovim. And Rabbi Yehuda says no. Rabbi Yehuda says we're not afraid that if we allow you to benefit from the juices that came out of Tusim Rimonim, you're going to come to squeeze them because Beis Menashe squeezes them. So the Gemara immediately asks, "Umimai derabbanani? Who told you that the authorship of this brisa should be attributed to the Chachamim? Dilma Rabbi Yehuda. Again, despite the fact that Rabbi Yehuda's name is not mentioned, but it could be that this brisa holds like Rabbi Yehuda. And therefore, if you have fruits that lend themselves to mitz, to getting drink, right, to getting the juices out." But that's not what they're usually designated for. Like, for example, Tusim v'Rimonim. So then, Mashkim ha'yotze b'hed mutter. In other words, when it says in the Braisa now, Avalo b'Rimonim, we're going to interpret it lo b'Rimonim even in a case where the juice came out on its own. So the Gemara says, V'tehevi nami Rabbi Yehuda, you know, it's impossible to tell me that you gain anything whatsoever by attributing this brisa to Rabbi Yehuda, because Eimer d'shamet leila Rabbi Yehuda, when was Rabbi Yehuda lenient? And he was mekil as far as mashkin ha'yotzim min ha'peros, that's only if they came out on their own, b'yotzim me'atzman. Sochetim l'chatchila mishamet leila, did we ever hear any position of Rabbi Yehuda allowing you up front to deliberately squeeze the juices out of any fruit? We never heard such a thing. Elamai islach lememar. The only way you could make sense out of this brisa, even according to Rabbi Yehuda, is to say came into labanei schita ninu, that nobody would take these three categories of pegoyim, prishim, and uzrodim and squeeze them. Is therefore filu chatchila? It means any liquid that you remove from these three categories of fruits is not called a liquid. It's called a toras ochel, and he's separating ochel from ochel, and then it's a filu chatchila. You're allowed to do such a thing, afilu chatchila. If that be the case, then what do you gain by attributing this brisa to Rabbi Yehuda? Afilu teimer Rabbanon. Rabbanon would also agree to this fundamental underlying principle expressed and reflected in this brisa of kevin delabanei schita ninu, afilu chatchila. You're allowed to sochet them even up front. We never heard any machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Chachamim about something which doesn't lend itself at all to Shechita, and you went ahead and you squeezed it. You're allowed to do this l'chatchila because it doesn't the juice does not have a Torah mashkin, only has a Torah ochel. Ishmami no rabbonani. Therefore, I have every right to assume that this price of the authorship of which should be attributed to Rabbanon, Shmamino, and let's prove from here that since the Chachamim said that there are certain fruits which lechatchila you're allowed to be sochet, they're not omed l'schit at all, is therefore we shouldn't have a gzera in the case of mashkim shezavu, and the mashke shezavim is mutter, you're allowed to drink this liquid that came out of it. And although it could be that we have a category of shar peros where lechatchila we're not going to allow you to do the schita, but if the mashkim were yotzei mehem, you're allowed to benefit from the schita. So we have now proof for what Rabbi Yehuda was saying in the name of Shmuel. The Chachamim agreed to Rabbi Yehuda in shar peros that if the liquids come out on their own, then you're allowed to benefit and drink that liquid, just like Rabbi Yehuda. And the whole machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chacham is about Zeisim v'Rimonim. Do we compare Zeisim v'Rimonim to Shar Peros? That's Rabbi Yehuda Shita. Because just like in Shar Peros, no one in their right mind would start squeezing oranges. So too, although you have Beis Menashe who will squeeze pomegranates, but that's not the run-of-the-mill person. And therefore Rabbi Yehuda equates Zeisim v'Rimonim Tusim v'rimonim with Shar Peros. The Chacham, on the other hand, point to Beis Menashe, and they say, look, if you have this group of people where they normally, even during the week, will squeeze the pomegranates, you see that the juice of pomegranates is considered a serious mashke. And therefore, since it's a serious mashke, we're going to prohibit enjoying the benefits of any juice that comes out of Rimonim and Tusim, lest he would come to squeeze it out if you let him enjoy the benefit of the juice that came out on its own, based on Menashe. So the Gemara asks, shall base Menashe bar Menachem, are you soaked in Rimonim? Okay, fine. You found a group of people in the household of Menashe, and they squeeze out the juice from pomegranates. Is therefore what? Omer Rav Nachman, halacha kishel beis Menashe bar Menachem. Now, there are two oddities over here. One oddity is that just because, you know, Menashe, with all respect, you know, would squeeze the juice out of pomegranates, therefore the halacha should reflect that approach. That's a little bit strange. And secondly, what do you mean halacha ki Menashe? What do you mean halacha ki Beis Menashe? I mean, Beis Menashe is not a Torah authority. I mean, they had the custom of squeezing pomegranates. So the language of Rav Nachman here is very strange. Amale Ravel Rav Nachman, Menashe ben Menachem Tanahu. You know, you have to paskin like him because he's a Tana? Okay, he had a minhag in his family. What does that mean? V'chite, man, if you'll tell me that what Rav Nachman had in mind is something else. Halacha ki hai Tana, disavrala kishel Menashe ben Menachem. In other words, the Tanakama, the Chachamim, reflected in this brisa, are going to be machmir in the case of Tusim v'Rimonim. If the juices came out on their own, they're going to prohibit that against Rabbi Yehuda because they reflect the minug or accept validate the custom of Menashe. So that's what Rav Nachman had in mind. He didn't mind that we're going to paskin like Menashe ben Menachem. No. There is no such Tana by the name of Menashe ben Menachem. But we're going to paskin like that Tana, whose sheet is reflecting the Braisa, L'chumra. We have to be more careful about Rimonim because of this minug of Beis Menashe. Now the Gemara goes on to the next question. And that is, Umishum disover ki Menashe ben Menachem halacha kemoso? Menashe ben Menachem haveruba di alma? The Gemara asks rhetorically, are you going to paskin halacha, L'chumra, and extend the gzera that applies to peros, like zeisim v'anovim, to rimonim, and why? Because of this Menashe. Does this Menashe represent most of the world, most of the globe? When we set up halachas and we try to figure out, well, do you want the mashke? Do you not want the mashke? Let's see what Rov HaOlam does. Don't tell me about one, you know, one Yankel Beryl out there in your Huppetsville. You know, that doesn't set up halacha. And the Gemara says, in, if you want to know whether there is a status of a mashke to the liquids that come out of a pomegranate, if you can find that it's an accepted tradition in certain families, and they benefit from taking the mashke out of the tusim, we're going to rely on that. And to prove this, we're going to invoke a Mishnah in Masechta Kelayim. Now, in Kelayim, when you mix two species and plant them very close one to the other in close proximity, then the halacha is, if that, you know, each one of those two species has to fill or fit to the following condition. It has to be mekaimim oso. In other words, it's something that you normally would plant and get some benefit out of the planting. So, for example, if you have a vineyard, and obviously you want the grapes that are growing in the vines, to plant vegetables in close proximity, and you, of course, want the vegetables, that would be kelayim. But the Mishnah wants to know about a case of kotzim. Kotzim are like thorn bushes. Now, thorn bushes, it's hardly a foodstuff. It's not a yerek. It's not something that you eat. And despite that, we have the sheet in the Mishnah recorded in the name of Rabbi Eliezer, Hamakayim Kotzim Bekerem. He plants these thorn bushes, shrubs, in close proximity to his vines. And Rabbi Eliezer Omer Kidesh. Kidesh is a word that means oser. Oser generates the Isur of Kelayim. Chachamim Omrim, Eino Makadesh, Eladover Shekabo Makayimim. In order to set up a Kiddush, which means an Isur of Kelayim, you have to mix two species, each of which is something that you would plant and want to get the benefits of it. What are you going to do with these shrubs, with these thorns? Amar Rav Chanina, my time under Rabbi Eliezer, what are you going to do with these thorn bushes? Shekein b'Arvia, in a country called Arvia, mekaimim kotzei sados ligmaleim. They actually feed these shrubs, these thorns, to their camels. And you see from Rabbi Chanina that the halacha considers very seriously and validates a minhag that somewhere on the face of the globe they have that custom. They want these shrubs, so it's called mekayim. And if he goes ahead and he decides that he's going to plant his shrubs because he wants to feed his gemalim, even though he's not in Arvia, but the Gemara says that Rabbi Eliezer is going to point to Arvia, and that's going to establish the halacha. So the same thing applies with regard to Rimonim. If Beis Menashe will squeeze the Rimonim even during the weekday, it seems that there is some significance to that custom of getting mashke out of a pomegranate. So Gemara rejects this proof. It's not a valid analogy. My midi iria. What kind of proof is that? Arvia Asra. Arvia is a country on the face of the map. And that could validate a minhag. Hacha. But here in the case of Beis Menashe, with all due respect to one particular household, but it doesn't represent an entire country. It's not something that's culturally related to a nation. But l'daito, it's a kolano. We have another principle in halacha, that just because one individual thinks in a certain way, but nobody thinks the same way, and this person is machshiv, he thinks it's so significant to get the juice out of the pomegranate, so he's in Beis Menashe. Okay, very good, and that's fine for Beis Menashe, but that doesn't set up any valid halachas. It's not uniform, it's not objective, it's just butler daito itzel kolano. Any person could have his own... you know, they call it here in Hebrew, Juk Barosh. He has his own craziness. You know, he decides that, you know, it's worth of him to ruin the pomegranate to get its juice. But Halacha doesn't validate something that's butler daito, it's a kolano. Like the Gemara describes at the beginning of Eilat Mitzvos. This I learned when I was in fourth grade. They start with Eilat Mitzvos in those days. Now they change them in Hagen. But, and the man is standing on the shore bank, and he dropped a coin to the bottom of the sea. And he's yelling and screaming, "I'm not Misyayish," you know, as if he's going to bring, you know, some professional deep sea divers, you know, in the Red Sea in Eilat, and he's going to find this coin somewhere on the bottom of the sea. So the Gemara says, "Butler Daitetzel Kolano." That's built in Yeush. In other words, we can assume objectively it's Yeush. So now at this point, the Gemara is going to come up with a whole new interpretation for Rav Nachman as to, according to Rav Nachman, why we should paskin like the Tanakama of our Brisa, so that you're not allowed to enjoy the benefit of liquids that come out of pomegranates. Now, what we're going to study, you know, we just finished Kalayim, now we're going from the frying pan into the fire, and we're going to Masechta Mikvos. Now, there are certain things that pasul a mikvah. So you have a mikvah that's full of water, and a mikvah has to be made up of water, or melted water, let's say in the case of snow, hail, and all the like. And something fell in. Now, generally speaking, if something other than a water substance falls in, it doesn't disqualify the mikvah unless it's meshana mara. It changes the color of the water, and it no longer appears to be a mikvah water. And in those cases, the mikvah becomes pasul. However, the Gemara that we're about to learn assumes the following premise, that in order for something to fall into a mikvah and disqualify the mikvah because it changes the color of the mikvah, it's got to be a mashke. It has to have the status of a mashke. You say, if you have something that's a piece of food, and somehow the food falls into a mikvah and it changes its color, then right now the Gemara is assuming that would not be a problem for the mikvah. So we need two things to pasul a mikvah. Condition number one, it's got to be a mashke. And condition number two, it has to change the color of the water of the mikvah. And the case that we're dealing with, which Rav Papa raises, is a case of beets. He took a vegetable called tered in the Lashon of the Gemara, we call it selek in our Hebrew, and he cooked it. The water now in which the beets were cooked absorbs the color, the red color of the beets. And that falls into a mikvah. The red color of the beet juice, if we can call it that, will now change the color of the mikvah. At this point, we have to ask the following question. And the answer of that to this question will determine whether mikvah is kosher or pasul. Do we give the status of this liquid, of this so-called beet juice, a mashke? Does it have a status of a mashke? Well, what do you do with a beet? You chop it up, and you eat it. You cook it, eat it. But you don't squeeze the liquids out of a beet. Maybe today they have something called barsh, but generally speaking, we assume that a beet would be similar to shar peros, which we spoke about before, like rimonim, which, except for Beis Menashe, you know, you would not squeeze, and we said about Beis Menashe anyway, but you would not squeeze a beet in order to get out its juice. So any liquids that come from the beet would not be a mashke, would not pasul the mikvah. So the Gemara says, "Hainu time of the reason why Rav Nachman, in the case of Schitas Rimonim, he was Machmir, is Kidrav Chizda. That the juice of a pomegranate is going to have the status of a mashke, which generates an Isar on Shabbos, just like the juice of a beet is considered a mashke to pasul a mikvah. The other Rav Chizda, Trudin. He took beets and through a process of squeezing out the liquids of the beets, sachtan unesanam b'mikvah. Somehow the beet juice fell into a mikvah, poslim es hamikvah b'shinui mara. The mikvah became posel. Why? Because it changed the color of the mikvah. Yeah, but we said that there's another condition. It's not enough that you threw in ochlin, for example, and it changes the color of the mikvah. You could throw in anything and change the color of the mikvah. That doesn't passel a mikvah. It's only a mashka that passels a mikvah. How could Rav Chisda say that the beet juice passels the mikvah because the color changes the color of the mikvah? It's not a mashka. Nobody squeezes out a beet in order to get its juice. Elamai Yisla Lameimar came in the Akshavinu Havile Mashke. If a person decides that he wants to squeeze out the juice, he wants to get barshed out of his beets, so that's fine. That makes it into a mashke. So now, according to Rav Chisda, we're introducing a new element into the equation, and that is the subjective decision that halachically validates and creates a mashke. Your decision that you want to get out this mashke upgrades it to the status of a mashke. Is hachinami here too, in the case of peros, like for example, we spoke about pomegranates, he decides, like Beis Menashe, he decides that he wants to squeeze out the juice of the pomegranates. No one else in the world would do so. That makes it into a mashke. And therefore, you're not allowed to do this on Shabbos because you're violating Shechita by taking out the mashke. If that be the case, then we have a perfect analogy to beet juice, which is called a mashke, and apostles and mikvah, b'shini mara. Even though you and I would never squeeze out the juice of a beet, but he decided to squeeze out the juice of the beets. So I'm just going to read to you this footnote over here. He says, Kevon shesachton l'shem mashke, once he squeezes it out for the purpose of getting the juice, hichshiva kemashke, he makes it into a mashke. If that be the case, then on Shabbos he would be chayev on schita mishum dash. But now, what are we going to do with the cases of pegayim, prishim, and uzradin? Right, the quinces and the plums and the apples, those kind of crab apples. And we said that there you're allowed to squeeze them out and get the juice. V'tzarch lefayrish habraisa sheitira lischot pegayim are plums, v'chadom etc. Shein peros haom dim rak lachila ein ze ela. Kishesochaton lematik es hapri. Rabosai, we're breaking new ground over here. There's something called schita for the sake of mashke, and there's something called schita for the sake of mituk hapri. That when you remove juices from a fruit, that sweetens the fruit itself. You know, when you're left with the flesh, the pulp of the fruit, and it's not mitigated by the liquids, it takes on a different taste. So again, he's not interested in the mashke. For his part, take the mashke and throw it out. He's interested in the fruit, but he improves the fruit by doing schita. Dehes tamaisa? Rabos, have you ever heard such a thing? A whole new category. And therefore, in the cases of Pagayim, Prishim, and Uzradim, we're assuming that if he squeezes, it's not because he wants the mashke, he just wants to be mematik as a pri. Masha'enke rimonim, also lischot, you're not allowed to do it, because some people will in fact squeeze it for the sake of the mashke. So if he decides he's squeezing it because he wants to drink pomegranate juice, that's something that's valid. And that gives it a shame mashke, and therefore you violate the sushchita. And not only that, even if the liquids came out of the rimonim on their own, we're not going to allow him, midin gzeres chachamim, to benefit from that liquid, that pomegranate juice that came out on its own, according to the chachamim, because we're afraid lest he might deliberately squeeze out the rimonim, and the juice coming out of the rimonim would be considered considered a mashke. Not so in conscience in the case of Pagoyim. Even if you squeeze out the juice, it's not a mashke, because then we objectify that squeezing not as removing the juice to create a mashke, but rather lematek es hapri. So this footnote here really sheds a whole new light on this Gemara. Rav Papa Omar. Now, before we had the explanation of Rav Papa, then in the case of beet juice, it passels the mikvah. And we suggested that the reason for that, that's how we understood, is because since he deliberately decided to squeeze out the juice from the beets, that gives it a shame mashka, similarly to we saw the Issur Shechita in pomegranates. And once it's a mashka and it changes the color of the mikveh, it passes the mikveh. So Gemara now offers another explanation of Rapapa by introducing a new concept to the laws of mikvos. And that is Rapapa Omer Mishum Davi Dover Shein Osim Mimenu Mikvah Lechatchila, called Dover Shein Osim Mimenu Mikvah Lechatchila Posel Es HaMikvah Bishinui Mare. So we're going to see that Rapapa, and immediately we're going to quote Rava in the light of a Mishnah in the 7th Perek of Mikvos, they formulate a new principle, and that is that you passel a mikvah with two conditions, but not the same two conditions that we mentioned before. One of the two is the same. One is shidimara. It changes the color of the mikvah. But number two, we don't need a shem mashke. We need a davar she'ein osim mimenu mikvah lechatchila. If you have some sort of a liquid substance, even if it's not technically, halachically defined as a mashke, but nevertheless it's a liquid that mixes together with the water of the mikvah, and it's not water, nor is it melted snow, and it passels the mikvah v'shinui mara. Why? Because since it's not water, and you could not make a mikvah out of it, then it's a liquid substance that, with the color change, will passel the mikvah. Tanan hasam, all based on a Mishnah and Rava's interpretation of that Mishnah in mikvos, nafal l'socho, what fell into the mikvah, yayin ochometz, okay, that yayin ochometz, which means wine or vinegar, those are mashkim. And if they change the color of the mikvah, we understand that the mikvah is posel. But the third case is called mochel. And mochel is a certain kind of a liquid substance that comes out of zesim, that comes out of the olives before the oil comes out. So it's a pre-oil liquid. And it doesn't have the status of shemen, and therefore it's not a mashke. And yet the Mishnah says that if it fell into a mikvah, v'shino marav, and it changes the color of the water of the mikvah, posel. So the Gemara says, man tana de mochel mashkehu. So first we have Abai's approach to this Mishnah, and Abai understood that obviously mochel is considered a mashke. Otherwise it wouldn't pass the mikvah b'shinui mara. So Amar Abai Rabbi Yaakov. Rabbi Yaakov identifies mochel as a mashke, and he equates it with the shemen that comes out later, in the later stage. Desanya Rabbi Yaakov Omer mochel hareyu ke mashke. In other words, with regard to Kabbalah's Tumah, we assume that a mochel is not a mashke, and it's tar, because he doesn't want this mochel. He's just going to throw it in the rubbish. He doesn't get any benefit from it. And therefore, it doesn't have the status of a mashke. But if, on the other hand, he wants to get some benefit out of the mochel, then it does have the status of a mashke. So Abai understands from Yaakov that mochel has a schizophrenic personality. It might be considered a mashke, it might not be considered a mashke. And the nafkamina is that if the mochel falls into a mikveh and changes its color, it will passel the mikveh because he does have a shem mashke. On the other hand, in general, it's tar because he's not interested in the mochel. Rabbi Shimon, on the other hand, says, mochel eino mashke. Ma tam omru mochel yotze be'ikol beis habad tome, l'fi she'ef shalo b'lo tzuchei shemen. The reason why we will be machmir in the case of mochel, even though it doesn't have the status of a mashke, is because there's always a mixture of oil together with this mochel. We can never stop the process and freeze it immediately. My binai, what's the machlokas, the nafkamina between Rabbi Yaakov and Rabbi Shimon? his nafkamina zikabeinayu, the asi basar itzitsa, it's sasa. If this mochel comes out of the olives after a long period of time, what happens is they have certain utensils where they stack up the oil, the olives one on the other, and it sort of heats up the olives, and they get squashed, and some mochel comes out. So Rabbi Yaakov is going to say that it's tamei, because in this case he puts it in this utensil for the express purpose of getting those liquids out. Rabbi Shimon holds no. The mochel is tahar, because he hasn't yet done what's called schitas azesim. He hasn't put the olives yet in the press. And in this case, there's no extra shemen that's mixed in. It's pure mochel, and mochel is not a mashke, and therefore it's tahar. Rava Omar. Rava has another take on this Mishnah in Mikvos. And that is that the reason why mochel will passel the mikvah b'shini mare, even if I grant you that it's not a mashke, so we're not accepting Rabbi Yaakov now, b'shem David Dovah shein osim imenu mikvah who posels a mikvah b'shini mare, because Rava, like Rav Papa before him, says that any liquid that falls into a mikvah and changes the color of the mikvah, even though that liquid is not technically a mashke, it's a davar shein osim imenu lechatchila mikvah, it's not water, and therefore passels the mikvah. And as we said before, the same kind of a logic will circumvent our whole discussion about pomegranates and the juice of the pomegranates, because in the case of the juice of the pomegranates, we may say that it has the status of a mashke, and we wanted to say that the beets and the juice that came out of the beets also have the same status of mashke, because he deliberately wants to create this mashke. And now we're putting that in the back burners, because we're accepting Rav Papa, and the reason why the beet juice passels the mikvah is not because it's a mashke, because he decided that he wants borscht, but rather it's a davar shein osim imenu mikvah, which passels the mikvah b'shini mar, and that's Rav as well. Omar Rav Yehuda, Omar Shmuel. Now, Rabosai, I don't know if you squeeze lemons on Shabbos. And if you do, don't be embarrassed to raise your hand. And no one's raising their hand. Of course, again, I can't see a single face here. But even if I saw your faces, probably you're not raising your hand, except for one person. I see one person is raising their hand. That's me. Okay. So I'm the only one who squeezes lemons on Shabbos. I guess I must be a bad guy. But we're going to learn a sugya now, and I think if I learn this correctly, then you're allowed to squeeze lemons on Shabbos, but only on one condition. Let's see what goes on. Omer Rav Yehuda Mishmuel, Sochet Adam Eshkol Shal Anovim Litocha Kedera, Avalo Litocha Kara. Your classic schita is Zeisim Vanovim. And here we're talking about grapes. And Rabbi Yehuda says, are you allowed to squeeze grapes on Shabbos? Well, yes and no. It all depends. If you're squeezing it inside a pot, then that's okay. But if you're squeezing it inside a bowl, like a flat kind of round bowl, then that's not okay. Now, there's Rashi against all the Rishon. Rashi learns that in the case of Kedera, there's already food that's cooking in the Kedera. And therefore, anybody who sees you squeezing, in this case, grapes into the Kedera, he knows that you're doing it for the sake of the Tavshil, you know, to improve the Tavshil, and you're not trying to create and collect a mashka, you're not collecting wine or grape juice. But if somebody sees you squeezing it into a Kara, and there's no food in the kara, they're going to assume that you're doing it because you want the grape juice, and therefore you violate the melechas schita. So Rashi's interpretation of this sugya is it all depends upon what the spectator will assume, what impression he will walk away with. But all the other Rishonim disagree with Rashi, and they say the difference between a kedera and a kara is whether he's squeezing it into a food and the liquid goes from a food into a food, or the liquid is being collected on its own. It has nothing to do with the roya, with the spectator. So that if you squeeze grapes and the liquid goes directly from the grapes into food, that's called ochel etoch ochel, and that's not called schita. In contrast, if you squeeze the grapes and the liquid goes into a kara, which means there's nothing cooking there, there's no solid, you have created a mashke, and therefore you violate schita. From Shmuel's words, Nilmad we derive, Cholev Adam Eiz Lutoch HaKedera Avolo Lutoch HaKara. You'd be allowed to milk a goat in this case, and the milk goes directly into a Kedera. He puts a Kedera underneath the udders, and he squeezes the udders, the milk goes directly into the Kedera. You're allowed to do that. Avolo Lutoch HaKara, but not to collect the milk as is. Alma, what do we see from Rav Chisda? Kasavar, he understood from Shmuel that mashka boli ochel ochel hu. If you take a mashka out of a food, out of an ochel, and it goes directly into an ochel, it remains an ochel. It never had a chance to become a mashka. You never collected it as a liquid. And the question here is why the statement of Rav Chisda is Cholev Adam Eiz. I mean, why did he mention Cholev Adam Eiz? So some want to interpret that this statement of Rav Chisda is only referring to Yontif. On Yontif, an Eiz is not Mukta because you can shecht it and eat it. It's Ochel Nefesh. But if it would be Shabbos, then you have another problem over here because you cannot shecht an animal on Shabbos. So that, you know, basically, as long as the milk is inside the animal's udders, it's mukta, it's like psolis. And what you're doing is, by taking it out of the animal, you are actually taking ochel out of psolis. And some Rishonim want to learn that the issue here on Shabbos would be a borer issue, not a mukta issue. Okay, that's a gigantic machlokas Rishonim. Masiv, Rami Bar Chama has a Mishnah Masechta Taras, and he has a kasha. It says Zav Shecholiv Esaez Hacholiv Tomei. Now, in all cases other than Zav, Tuma is contracted through Maga or Masa when a Tahar carries a Tomei. So, let's say I'm Tahar and I carry a Zav, or I carry a Sheretz, or something along that line. That's called Tumas Masa. The Chiddush of Zav, which is very unique to Zav, is called Tumas Heset, which means the Zav is causing something that's tar to move. Heset means Tzuza, meaning movement. So here, in the case where the Zav milks a goat, he's causing that flow of milk to come out of the body of the goat, of the ace. And that's called Tumas Heset. V'i amrit mashka boli ochlim ochelhu. If you're going to tell me that the status of a liquid that goes into a solid is that of a solid, it's called an ochel. So now, through the process of milking the eis, if it goes directly into an ochel, then it remains an ochel. If that be the case, so cholev litocha kedera, right? Kedera means there's ochel in the pot, and therefore the cholev has a dinner in ochel. So with regard to any ochlin, we have a principle that an ochel is not makabel tuma unless it was first in contact with one of the seven mashkim, the seven machshirim. Is b'mayis kasha? How did this cholov become mukshar lekabel tuma? It went straight into the tavshil, and yet the Mishnah says in Masechta Taras that the cholov is tuma. So the Gemara answers, Kida Omar Rabbi Yochanan. This is a comment of Rabbi Yochanan on another Mishnah, this time in Masechta Kelim, And the case is where some of the milk of a woman went from her breasts into an oven, it fell into an oven, and the oven, according to the Mishnah in Kehilim, became tame. So the Gemara, this is a whole long sugi increases, Tosfos goes through the whole sugi increases, on Daf Yud Gimel, the Gemara asks, well, since the milk is going from directly from the mother's body into the oven, then there was no hechsher. In other words, the status of the milk is that of what's called miyuad lemachal letinok, right? In generally speaking, as soon as the milk comes out of the mother's body, it is food for a baby, and if it's food for a baby, then it's ochlin, and ochlin is not makabel tumah unless there was a hechsher, and here there was no hechsher. So why is the milk able to convey tumah to the oven? And Rabbi Yochanan answers that betipa meluch leches al pi adat, that there is a small amount of milk on a woman's nipple which is not designated for the baby, right? That's the first milk that comes out. And it's much easier for the baby to drink after that original milk comes out, and she wipes off that drop of milk. And that drop of milk, since it's not dedicated or singled out for the purpose of the baby, therefore it has the status of a mashka. Hachanami, if we use Rabbi Yochanan in our context, and we're talking about milking a goat into a kedera, and you're asking me, well, where's the hechsher lekabel tumah? There's no mashke because we said that mashke abol toch ochel is an ochel. The answer is that on this udder, the goat's udder, there's a little bit of milk that he wants to separate from the rest of the milk. And derech hachovim lahartiv espiadad b'tipa rishona. What he does is he takes that first, the man who's milking the goat, he takes that first drop of milk that comes out of the udder, and he uses it to moisten the udder itself. So that first drop is not going into the tavshil, which would mean it became an ochel, but rather as a din of a mashke. So we got up to Masiv Ravina, and that's at the bottom here of Kuf Mem Dalet Amid Beis. Ravina is going to ask a kasha from a Mishnah in Masechta Taros, and that Mishnah deals with the case of Schitas Zesim Ve'anovim. So that Amir Hashem will pick up tomorrow.